You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I am the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I do another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book, and I would appreciate it if you would check that out as well. And also, for our purposes, the most important thing you need to know is that I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. Guys, we're going to do a quick Friday episode today. In our next segment, we'll be joined by frequent guest Matt Kremnitzer, who is an Orioles writer for PressBox Online. We're going to discuss the season that Trey Mancini's having so far, one of the few bright spots in the Orioles year to date. And remember, folks, you can get Locked On Orioles on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And when you get in your car, please tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Orioles. Well, guys, I'll keep it brief today because the Orioles have not played a game since the last time I talked to you. They start a four-game set with the Boston Red Sox tonight at Fenway Park. Believe it or not, the Orioles are actually ahead of the defending World Series champions in the AL East standings, at least for now. The Orioles stand at 5-8, while the Bo Sox are at 4-9. So if the Red Sox manage to sweep the series or win 3 of 4, they will be ahead of the Birds by the time the team leaves Boston after Monday's game. Before we get to our segment with Matt Kremnitzer, which incidentally is the first part of a two-part interview that will air over 2 episodes, I wanted to just mention a couple of things. I'm looking for ideas for this podcast. I want to know what you, the listener, wants to get out of it. So, for instance, I'm thinking about doing some regular features, such as a Orioles history segment once a week and a Down on the Farm Friday, something like that, where we'll look at Orioles prospects each Friday. So I have a few ideas like that, but I'd love to hear some more ideas from you, the listener. So if you have any ideas, please don't hesitate to email me, lockedonorioles@gmail.com, or you can contact me on Twitter, @lockedonorioles. All right, we're going to get to our interview with Matt Kremnitzer in just a second. He and I are going to be talking about Trey Mancini and his excellent season to date. And then in part 2 of the interview, in our next episode, we'll be talking about Dylan Bundy and his awful season to date. Just a reminder that if you're enjoying Locked On Orioles, you should be listening to Locked On MLB as well. It's a great way to get an entire overview of MLB in 15 minutes or less every day. Okay, let's get on with our interview with Matt Kremnitzer from PressBox Online. Matt, I thought maybe we could talk today about one of the few bright spots in the Orioles season so far. Trey Mancini has been hitting very well. He really has been one of the top hitters in the American League so far. You know, as we record this, I don't want to get into the exact stats because there may be another game that they've had since we talked. But what do you think? He certainly got off to a bad start last year. That was one of his one of the Orioles' problems early, was that Mancini wasn't hitting at all. Obviously, it's a nice change of pace for the Brandon Hyden company to see him hitting so well.
Yeah, he's clearly been their best hitter so far. Last year, I think he started out okay, and then he had that thing in the foul territory in left field where he was chasing after a foul ball, and he slammed into the, underneath the brick wall under the padding, and he was hurt. He came out of the game, and I think he ended up only missing a few games, but at least for a period after that, he didn't look like he was the same. Who knows how much it affected last season. I mean, he definitely took a step back from the year before, so it wouldn't be that surprising if, it was something that bothered him the whole year. I don't think he ever publicly said that it was really an issue or he wanted to discuss it a lot, but, it probably was a factor. He didn't have a very good season. Honestly, he sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it. But so far he's healthy. He's hitting the ball all over the ballpark, especially up the middle into, right center field where a lot of his power is. I think as of right now, he has 6 home runs. He's walking. He's not striking out as much. I think he's hitting the ball about the same, in terms of exit velocity, but he's not just hitting the ball on the ground. He's getting it in the air. And, he's supposed to be one of their power hitters on a team that doesn't really have any. So he's really putting in a lot of work right now.
And, of course, we should point out, too, that he is 27, which is typically the age that players hit their peak. So it's not surprising maybe that he's playing the best baseball of his life right now.
No, it's not stunning, you know, but considering what happened last year and how you know, much you weight the injury factors, we didn't really know if he still had this in him. And again, it's early, you know, mid-April. Who knows what will happen in May and June, but he has been one of the best hitters in the American League. He's definitely showing that he has the ability to hit in the middle of the order. And, you know, on a team that doesn't have that many bright spots, he's putting together a nice start to the year.
So have you seen anything different as you've watched the games in his approach? Like, does he seem to be doing anything different at the plate than he did last year?
I haven't gotten to break it down as much as I would like. I know last year he was definitely hitting a lot of balls in the ground, especially, I think, to the pole side. He wasn't getting the ball in the air. He wasn't driving the ball. He wasn't hitting a ton of homers. But especially in the early going, I think most of his homers have either been to center field or to right center. And I think he talked to one of the beat reporters or all of them earlier this week. And he's just saying, you know, they're pitching me outside. I'm going with it. And not only is he, you know, going with it, he's actually driving. He's actually doing damage with it. So whether that means the knee is healthy or it's just a different kind of approach where he's, you know, focusing on going to, you know, the opposite field first or maybe just an up the middle approach. But everything he's hitting, not everything he's hitting, but he's really hitting the ball hard and he's hitting the ball in the air.
One other thing that always comes up with Mancini, particularly in relation to Chris Davis struggling so much, is the idea I've heard some people saying that, you know, the Orioles really need to get him back to first base, right, which is that natural position, the position he played throughout his minor league career. I think in the past there's been some talk that maybe playing in the outfield was affecting his hitting. That certainly doesn't seem to be the case this year, but do you think he has more value as a first baseman or as an outfielder who's kind of out of place?
He's definitely looked better in right field than at least what I've seen from, you know, what he used to do in left. I don't know if that's a quirk of Camden Yards and not having to cover quite as much field with right field with the scoreboard and everything. But, I mean, I've looked at his splits in terms of, you know, when he's at first base or DH versus the outfield. And, you know, at least before this year, he did better when he was at first base or DH. Now, there's not a huge sample size there. I mean, there's definitely nothing definitive, but it wouldn't be that surprising if it's, you know, at least partly a comfort thing. Like you said, when he came up through the minors, he was playing first base or DH. He wasn't playing in the outfield. Maybe he even feels more comfortable in right field or even, you know, like I mentioned before, it's just, you know, he's healthy. His knee feels fine. He feels better in right field, or at least he knows that he's either going to be in right field or first base or DH, and he just feels more comfortable about that. I'm not sure. It's really good to see. And, you know, going forward, he should see more at-bats at first base. He should see more at-bats at DH. Who knows how much longer Chris Davis is going to be around. Mark Trumbo might be coming back in May or June, but he's going to be gone after this season. So going forward, you know, like I said, depending on what happens with Davis, someone like Ryan Mountcastle will be an option at first base. But there's definitely room for Mancini to get at-bats at first base or DH. And, you know, maybe even for the time being, he sticks in right and isn't terrible out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. He certainly looked better than he did in the past, and that may be a comfort thing. But my gut instinct probably is that ultimately he's going to be back at first base. And, of course, that's a lot of it has to just do with what they decide ultimately to do with Chris Davis, which is a topic I discussed in the podcast a couple of days ago, and nobody really seems to have a good answer to that. Davis is, like, obviously struggling in a way that nobody has struggled in Major League history. But he's under this huge contract, so the Orioles just don't really have any good options about what to do with him. And, you know, but ultimately I cannot see Chris Davis being the starting first baseman on this team much longer. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I guess if you're looking a couple years down the road, Mountcastle is going to be your guy probably at first base. I guess he'd be up later this summer. I'm not really sure. Like you said, it depends what happens with Davis. But I guess that means you'd plug someone in like Mancini as your DH, or, you know, he keeps hitting like this. He has a ridiculous season and maybe he becomes a trade chip. It's not like the Orioles are close to contention. They're at least a few years from probably even breaking 500 or being close to it. If you would have to guess. So, you know, there's really almost nobody on this team who, you know, you wouldn't view as a trade chip other than, you know, the rookies that are just coming up or anyone like that. But, you know, if Mancini keeps raking, you know, they're not going to sign him to a long-term extension. They're probably going to look to trade him or, you know, at least consider it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Something that came up on Twitter the other day, I saw somebody basically making a joke about that. He said, "I mean, I'm really going to hate to see Trey Mancini traded this, you know, this break, but certainly his value has never been higher. And if he keeps hitting like this, and there's some contender looking for a right-handed power hitter at the deadline, and you could get a couple of prospects for him, I would think that's a distinct possibility, to put you that way."
Yeah, I mean, you know, teams aren't stupid too. It's only been a few weeks. Who knows? We're still kind of learning exactly how good of a hitter he is. But you know, considering his first year, and then you know this what he's doing right now, he looks more like he did in the first year. So maybe you know last year you discounted that a little bit because of the injury or whatever, but who knows how much teams would want to pay for, you know, a DH first base guy. But you know, if he's really this good of a hitter, you know, if he's 10 to 20% better than the league average hitter, you know, who's going to be on a team friendly deal. I think he hasn't reached arbitration yet. I don't think so. You know, a team might value that and the Orioles might see what they can get because they need as much, young talent as they can get. That doesn't mean you just want to give up a 27-year-old player like Mancini, but you know, he's not necessarily the type of player that the Orioles should be trying to build around.
Okay, that's going to do it for another episode of Locked On Orioles. Just a reminder, Matt will be rejoining us in our next episode to talk about Dylan Bundy. You can get Locked On Orioles on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else where you can get podcasts. And when you get in your car, make sure to tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Orioles. And guys, we would really appreciate it if you would leave a 5-star rating and a review for Locked On Orioles. Every review and rating helps us increase our audience. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter @LockedOnOrioles. See you next time.